culture.
Tim, thank you very much. Tim Benton from the University of Leeds, also Jason Drew and Steve Sugden before him. Ginny.
So far in the show, we've been discussing how to maintain our meat supplies, but scientists are also busy researching how to improve crop yields. An international team is currently working to secure the future of the staple food for 60% of the globe, rice. Naked scientist Kate Lamble spoke to one of the members of the team, Helen Woodfield, who's completing her PhD at the University of Cambridge.
So I work on the C4 Rice Project, which is a large international corporation of people who are essentially working trying to increase the yield of rice, so more rice grains per plant.
So why is it so important for us to increase the yield of rice?
As I'm sure most people know, the population of the world is increasing at a much greater rate that we can keep up with in terms of food production. In 50 years' time, if population increases carry on in the projected way, then we're not going to cope. So we need to, you know, have more food.
So how are you going about trying to increase the yield of rice?
There are different forms of photosynthesis. Most people will have studied photosynthesis at school, and it's the process where sunlight is converted from CO2 into sugars. Now, this process is inherently inefficient, and there are various plants which have evolved mechanisms which will overcome this flaw. So, yeah, the whole point of this project is to try and put this specialised pathway called C4 into rice, which is a C3 plant.
At school, I got taught about photosynthesis. They weren't different types of photosynthesis. How does this C4 type of photosynthesis differ from the C3 photosynthesis?
So, in C3 photosynthesis, you have an enzyme called Rubisco. And an enzyme is a protein which catalyses a reaction. It turns one thing into something else. Now, the way that Rubisco works is it takes CO2 and it turns it into something else, which will then go on and be processed into sugars. So that's what happens in nearly every plant that you look at. Now, the problem is that CO2 is a very similar structure to oxygen. If you look at the two molecules, they're very, very similar. So Rubisco sometimes can't tell the difference and it uses oxygen instead. So Rubisco is like an old blind cook. It can't tell the difference between salt and sugar. Sometimes you use a salt, sometimes you use a sugar. And obviously the cake's going to be very different. The sugar ones are great, that's the CO2. The salt ones, really bad. So what C4 does is it employs a helper. And this helper is a different enzyme. It lives in a different room. And he can tell the difference. It only takes the sugar off the shelf. So it only takes carbon dioxide, leaves the oxygen. Then he passes the sugar to the cook in the other room, where he's just happily away making cakes. And because he hasn't got the option anymore, he only uses the sugar. So you only get good cakes, and so you only get the beneficial reaction.
What kind of plants have this more effective form?
Things like maize and sugarcane. Generally grasses. So if you watch a nature documentary which has a shot of Africa, all of the grasses that you see in that shot will be C4. But in terms of commercial applications, obviously maize is the highest one.
So why don't we just get the world to eat more maize?
So I hadn't really appreciated how important rice is. I went over to the Philippines as part of my project to work for a bit. And yes, everyone was very distressed that I wasn't eating my 5 rice a day. And I was like, I can't deal with this. There's so much rice, but it is a massive cultural thing. And although maize is coming more and more into the food chain, bettering the crop that's already grown is a much better option.
How can you make rice change the way it photosynthesizes?
The approach that we're taking is that we're actually copying the genes out of maize. So those genes, we're hoping that if we took the maize versions, the C4 ones, and we put them in rice, that they'll still act in a C4-like way.
And what results have you seen with that? Have they started to take on some effects of the C4?
The problem is that without the whole pathway, you're not going to ever achieve the end result. It's like putting in part of a painting expecting you to recognise it. You have to have the entire pathway and the anatomy all together before I think we'll see any sort of improvements in photosynthesis. So at this stage, we really are just playing around with trying to get the individual components in the right places at the right time. And then once we've got that sorted, we'll kind of build it all up, stack it all together, and then make one plant that's got all of it.
It's quite a complicated process to essentially change the way that rice is set up. It must be quite an effective change for it to warrant this much effort in a way.
Yeah, definitely. We're predicting that if you put C4 into rice, then we'll have about a 50% increase in productivity. And the most compelling thing is that the C4 photosynthesis has arisen at least 60 times across evolution. The theory behind it is that if it's arisen so many times, then try and make rice to do it, maybe it's not going to be as hard as we initially thought.
Why hasn't rice developed C4 photosynthesis itself?
The thing about the C4 pathway is that it does cost energy. So you have to pay to pump the carbon around the plant in this specialised way. So that's why you don't see C4 in this country, for instance, because you have this trade-off between the energy cost for running C4 and the energy cost for the photorespiration that you have if you don't have C4. And those costs change according to what the temperature is. So in this country, there are 4, maybe 5 species which are C4, but all the rest are C3 plants. And that's because of the energy trade-offs. Why rice hasn't? I don't know. Because obviously rice grows in the tropics, which is quite hot.
If we're looking at this working better in higher temperatures, does that mean that looking at the future with sort of climate change on the horizon, that this might become applicable to more crops?
Definitely. And the other great thing about C4 is because it's more efficient at extracting CO2 from the atmosphere, it means that it can keep its stomata closed more. So stomata are basically little holes in the leaf through which gas can flow. But the other problem is that water loss happens through those holes. So other than obviously reduced food quantities, we're really running out of water. And so to make plants which are better at growing in low water conditions, like C4 plants, is also a huge benefit.
How far off are we from getting this C4 process into rice?
The overall outlook for the project is about 45, 50 years away. So it's definitely a long-term project. Lots of people think you're absolutely mad for trying this. It's so ambitious and we know so little about it, really. When you think about the fundamentals of C4 and what controls it, we know so little.